In this episode, I'm talking to Anne Pearson. Join me now.
Come with us on the Being Imperfectly Perfect journey, where Anna brings to you guests who have overcome challenges and often their own thoughts of self-doubt and criticism to accept who they are, allowing them to live the life they really want.
Hello, Anne. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Thanks, Anna. I'm really good.
So, as I always ask everyone, as you know, this is all about speaking to people who are embracing the life of being imperfectly perfect. And Anne is, like all of my guests, a recovering perfectionist, self-proclaimed. So tell me a little bit more about you and introduce yourself this morning.
So, I'm Anne. I live in Middle England. I live in Rutland. I am ex-military. 2 years ago, I left the RAF after 19 years of service as a nurse, and that was obviously a big part of my career. And the last couple of years I've been learning to be a coach, and I met you, Anna, through a business networking group, and I've really been on a journey actually in the last couple of years about changing from the person I was in the military, which is a certain type of person, and there's very much a sort of being perfect and striving for perfection element of that, which is a good thing sometimes, to actually accepting that fact that I'm not that, and it's okay to not be that. So that's a little bit about my story. Anything else you want to know?
I love that. I think what you've just said is really potentially will resonate with me anyway, and perhaps some of our listeners, of that actually perfectionism, we can sometimes see perfectionism as a bad thing, but it isn't. I think the problem can come when actually the balance is out, if that makes sense. So talk to me a little bit more about kind of leaving the RAF, like being a mum, starting your business, how all of that has been for you.
It's been massively liberating. It's been going from a very structured environment where you expect to behave in a certain way, you expect to dress in a certain way, to just being much more free with how I live my life and how I choose to work and how I choose to parent. It's been amazing. And actually, I genuinely think for a long time, I felt that it wasn't me anymore to be that military person. I enjoyed it in the earlier part. I enjoyed all the challenges, and I think that's part of my perfectionist trait that was sort of part of the reason I joined in the first place. But I began to realise that actually I want a different kind of life. I want life to just flow a little bit differently. I want life to just evolve and unravel as it's meant to do, and I believe it's meant to do. And then I was, towards the end of my career, I was really sort of fighting against that, and adding in the fact that I'm a mum of two, and I'm parenting, and I'm a wife, and I have all these other things going on in my life, it was all really conflicting. And so for me, I think changing that direction, and it was a big decision because it's a massive part of your life. It's a big security element that you have being as part of such a great big organisation, and the culture that comes with it and the camaraderie, to just being out on your own, and we call it Civvy Street, and it's it's not quite as scary as I thought it was. In fact, it's been amazing, and my life has changed, I think, so much for the better. I'm a lot happier because of it, because I think there was, and I remember this really interesting conversation I had with, I used to work with Search and Rescue, and one of the helicopter pilots that I used to work with, and we were sat having a coffee together once, and he said, you know, I love being in the military, but one of the things it teaches you to do, you just keep striving. You keep being told to strive for better and better. But what happens with that is you fail to enjoy the moment. And that's something that really stuck with me. And I think that really sort of changed the way I looked at it. And I thought, there's some really good elements of being in the Air Force, but it doesn't always align with who you are. And if you're not aligned with that type of person, then you're going to be in conflict with it. And so I've gone from being that striving perfectionist type to, let's just see what today brings. Let's just let the day unfold. And you know what? It's just wonderful. It's very, can't think. It's all very nurturing to yourself, I think, to be like that and to be in the moment a lot more.
I love that. And even with what you've just said, we were talking about this prior to coming on, weren't we? That almost like that striving. If you keep striving and to, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, effectively, you're not living in the present. And what you're saying is like, everything I have in the present is not good enough. And that in itself can actually kind of cause that unhappiness. What would you say to someone who maybe is at a point in their life, and they've thought, I've spent the whole of my career doing a certain thing, or the whole of my life doing a certain thing, and they have perhaps got a nagging of, I want to do something different. But it's scary, right? It can be, let's just like say it how it is. It can be scary to actually make a change. So what would you say to someone in taking that leap of faith and doing something completely different?
I would say tap into your intuition when you do this. And that's something that was really new to me when I left, because being intuitive, apart from the nursing element where you're sort of intuitive about how your patient, if something's not right, you just have a feeling about it. Apart from that, that's a real no-no, and it's very much about logic and process. So if somebody's having that thought about, maybe I should do something different, I think that's something you should listen to. Because as you tell me, Anna, it's that whisper, it's that little whisper, and it keeps getting louder and louder until you start listening to it and start paying attention to it. So if there's something coming up that's hinting that you need to do something else, that is life showing you that perhaps you need to start listening to that, perhaps you need to start acting on that, perhaps you just need to be more open to what it's saying if it's not really clear what it's saying. But also that I think I genuinely believe that whatever you believe, whether you believe in, you know, God, universe or whatever, I genuinely believe that there is a plan for you and God, whatever you want to call it, it subtly tells you the direction you need to go. And maybe you've served your purpose. Maybe you've done what you need to do in life, you know, with being in that long term career, you know, whether that's a military career or whatever. But maybe there's something else that you need to use those skills and take forward and go and do your thing in the world after that. And maybe that looks totally different. But don't ignore it, because I think what happens is that whisper gets louder and louder until you're straight, it's in front of you and you have no choice but to change that direction. You can force it as long as you want because it's familiar and it's secure. But the beauty about learning about yourself comes from stepping into the unknown and stepping into that uncertainty that will come with something, doing something totally different.
I love that. And I love what you've just said about uncertainty. And I think so many people are almost like striving for this certainty, striving to know that everything will be okay, whether it's a static income. And what I seem to see so much at the moment is that seems to be derived around money. If I've got X amount of money in the bank, then, you know, it will make me feel a certain way. And I have these discussions all day long. Money is not going to make you feel anything, right? Happiness is an inside job. So what would you say to someone who maybe does feel that uncertainty, but I've got an income, I've got this static income, I know that I'm safe, I know that I have a pension, I know that I have all of this stuff. In actual fact, take that first leap. And I love what you said about the intuition, but actually when the intuition is calling you, how do you just leap, you know, almost like leap off that side of the cliff and just go for it, as it were?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because a lot of people are reliant on that. So I have conversations with people who have been in the military or perhaps gone into something very similar and they're really stuck in it and they're not happy. The first question to ask yourself is, am I happy? Because you're not helping anybody. Even if you earn an amazing income, you're not helping anybody around you if you're not happy in the first place. You've got to look after yourself first. And the majority of people that I work with, they're struggling because they're not putting themselves first. And this is not being about completely selfish in this process. You have to fill your own cup first. So if you're not happy, then money is not going to create what you really, really want, which most people want, to be honest, is happiness and contentment, I believe. And I've gone from earning a really good salary. I was a senior officer in the RAF, earning a good salary. I've got an amazing pension. I'm lucky to have that too. to earning a fraction of what I earned before. And yes, I've got a husband who supports me, but in myself, I'm so much happier with my life. I feel that I can do all the things I want to do. I can go and watch the kids do their nativity plays. I can go and watch their sports things and things that I had to make an excuse for before and to say, sorry, mummy's working. But what am I missing out on in that? So just, I think to sum that up, really, it's to ask that question of yourself. Are you truly happy? Do you actually wake up in the morning and feel grateful? Do you feel that little tingle of excitement about your day? Or do you wake up feeling utterly drained and fatigued and dreading the week ahead of you? Because that's probably a bit of a clue that you're not where you should be. But taking that leap of faith, and yes, it is a leap of faith. It takes courage to do that. But you just think, what could be on the other side of that? You know, greater contentment, greater happiness could be on the other side of that. And I think that's really exciting when you allow your life to just change the way it's meant to change. You know, how much could it get better?
I love that question, almost like reflecting on, okay, how much, you know, how much could it get better rather than almost like how much worse could it be? Because that's where our brains tend to go, isn't it? Like, we can go into catastrophe quite easily. If this doesn't happen, am I going to lose my house and all of this stuff? And before we know it, we're down this road. But even with what you've just said about, you know, going to now be able to do things with the kids, be able to do that in school, how do you balance? Because, you know, I'm a mum as well. I know that in your head it can be like that striving kind of career striving, and the being a mum can almost like balancing that can be a challenge at times. So what would you say to someone who is in that position of, I want to do big things in my career, but I'm also a mum and I want to have these times with the kids as well, but they've almost got this push and pull? What advice would you have for someone in that position?
Depending on how old your kids are, have that conversation with them and explain, you know, mummy or daddy, you know, what you're trying to do. And I have that conversation with mine all the time in the hope that it will inspire them to do the same when they grow up, and that it's okay to work hard and, you know, do funny hours and things like that, and but also be present with them at the same time. So it's a balance, it's a real balance. And I think a lot of other mums in particular, more than dads, I think, and I might be generalizing here a bit, but I think mums, you just have that emotional connection with your children that, you know, it's very difficult to tear yourself away from parenting and separate it into work mode. And so for me, when they're at school, that's the time when I work. I try not to work in the evenings because I'm cooking or I'm trying to poison them with vegetables or something like that, because that's what they seem to think I'm doing at the moment, like healthy eating, like, you're trying to make us eat this rubbish. So I think, yeah, have that conversation and help them to understand why you're doing it. You know, I want to support you. I want to, you know, help you have the best life, guys, because if I do that and I'm working and it's only going to be for a little bit of the time because I can still spend time with you, then that means we can go and do cool things at the weekends. You know, we could go swimming together, or we could maybe go on nice holidays, or we could go and take trips out. So if I think if you get that buy-in, they understand that a little bit more. I think if it's a like, don't come near me because I'm working, it actually creates more of that barrier and it's more of a struggle, and then you feel guilty because then you're creating that emotional thing that you have with your kids with, like, mommy, why are you always working, you know? So yeah, I think the benefit of working from home is a big thing, because I'm not actually physically going out to an office. That's a huge benefit, I think. So, but then you've actually got the disadvantages of, you know, you're trying to work when the kids are at home in the holidays and things like that. So it's tricky, really. You've got to have that conversation. And I think the other thing as well is to have a bit of a vision, have a bit of a goal, is, you know, what am I trying to achieve here? Am I just coaching because I'm a coach, coaching for coaching's sake? Or, you know, do I want to help a certain number of people? Do I want to have a goal at the end of it, which will enable us to do this as a family? So having that vision rather than just doing it for the sake of it, if you see what I mean.
I love that. And I think there's so many people who are almost, like you say, that doing it for the sake of it. And actually, if they perhaps were really honest with themselves, it's like, actually, why am I doing this? Why am I, and going back to one of the points that you made earlier, like, why am I getting up every day and going to do this thing? Or why am I in this position? Even just questioning that and getting really honest with them themselves. But even with what...
Can I add something into that as well? Another thing that I think humans are very guilty of, and it you know, of our generation, it's very easy to live other people's expectations as well.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that when I'm working with my clients is to ask the question, is this really what you want to do? And they go, oh, yeah, but yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, my dad expected me to go to university and I become a doctor or become a lawyer. Or, but what did you want to do? Well, I wanted to do ballet, or I wanted to do something creative or something. And, you know, by no fault of their own, I think our parents, and I'm trying not to do this as a parent now, they want the best for you, but it's the best based on what they know. So if they went out to work really, really hard, and they're brought up to understand that if you work hard, you'll get rewarded, then that's what they expect of you. But our generation is a good place to break that cycle of, you don't have to do that. Does that make sense? So you don't have to live the expectations of your parents or a teacher or society, or, you know, you don't have to be a job title. You're not identified by a job title. And that's something when I left the military, you know, I was Squadron Leader Pearson and, you know, ma'am to a lot of people who work for me. And coming away from that, I'm Anne again. You know, I meet people that they still say ma'am. I don't need to do that anymore.
Get your kids through at the weekend, ma'am.
You were the boss before. But you don't need to be identified by that job title. So, you know, what is it that you really want? What is in here? What did you want to do when you were growing up that, you know, ignited your passion? You know, can you go and revisit that now? Is it possible? Because I've spoken to so many people, and often through my clients, understanding where my clients came from, it's about what their parents expected, and they're not doing what they really want to do, and so they're not happy. And it's sad, really, because you're like, well, this is your opportunity now to go and do something that you love doing and make your life better.
I love that. And actually, my next question was going to be around expectations, because I think especially being in, if we're in a relationship, or we can be held so much back from our expectations. And actually, I was having a conversation with my first ex-husband yesterday. People think I'm crazy because I'm really good friends with both my ex-husbands. I was speaking to the second ex-husband a couple of days ago. I was speaking to my ex-husband yesterday. Luckily, I have a very, very trusting and amazing partner. But it's that expectation of, you know, and even my mum was like, well, if you're divorced the second time, you're going to make a Charlie of yourself kind of situation. And I think those expectations, that could have held me back from actually living the life that you want to really live. And even, you know, the kind of expectations within kind of when you left. What would you say about almost like having those, maybe those awkward conversations, or especially maybe when you want to do something and getting your partner's buy-in and stuff like that? How would you say to kind of almost like go about that conversation, if that makes sense? What's the first step?
That is a good question, because it's something that I was very conscious of. You know, again, people around me who I would almost seek approval from before would be kind of like, what is it you're doing again? I just want to explain to my friend what you're doing again. And I think I would question the people that you're surrounding yourself with. And some things you can't change. You can't change your family, but also question who you're asking advice from. You know, do you look up to that person if you're asking advice about, you know, I'm going to go and do this now, or just bounce ideas off them? Don't go to somebody who you know is going to disapprove of it, because then that'll just make you feel worse. So select who you're going to discuss that with. And then, you know, it's your life. You're not living their life. And look at those people that, well, and I remember having a conversation with a client about this. So she was in senior officer army, and having a bit of an issue with her mum about what she was doing and needing that feeling needing that approval. And I said, well, how would you look at your mum's career? And she said, well, she didn't have a career. You know, I wouldn't look to her for advice. I said, well, why are you asking for it? You know, do you know what I mean? I said, but what would you ask your mum's advice about? And she said, well, you know, her and my dad have got an amazing marriage, and you know, I would go to her for relationship advice, and because she's got a lovely relationship with my dad and they get along really well, we're amazing close family. I said, well, that's the sort of thing you should go to that person for advice for, not careers, because if they haven't done it, they're not best placed to advise you and to encourage you. They're going to bring you down, and it's only because their own fears and uncertainties, because they haven't been there. So in a very long-winded way of answering that question, I would just look at who's around you. So if you're making a big change, like going from a recognised career with a good job title or a rank or something like that, which has perhaps not been your ideal and you want to change that, then just go do it. You don't need to ask advice. This is, you know, does it feel right for you? And if it feels right for you, it will work. You will find a way, because you will have that intention behind it. You'll have that vision behind it. And if they don't like it, then thank them and move on. You can still love those people. You don't need to measure your relationship by what they think about you. You can still love them and you know, they might be around you, but also you perhaps need to sort of choose the people who support you going forward.
I love that. And I think part of that can be habit, can't it? A habit, like, you know, for so much of our life, we kind of asked our parents or, you know, people what they thought. You know, when we are asking them, we're almost like asking, please give me all of your limiting beliefs, all of the things that you possibly think might go wrong, because you know what, I need a few of those as well. So I love what you're saying. Actually, speak to someone who maybe is an expert in this, not necessarily, you know, the next door neighbour or your mum or whoever, who actually maybe has not done this. I really love what you're saying there. And even kind of like now, as you're kind of like trying different things and you're, you know, in the first stages of your business and, you know, growing from there, what would you say to someone who maybe wants to start a business and doesn't know where to start? And, you know, I did this like 18 years ago. So for me, right, this is not particularly new. I'm like, oh, yeah, you just do it and whatever, it just happens. What would you say is like the first port of call to even just get started?
Just have an idea. If you've got an idea, you're halfway there. I think that's the thing. It's, you know, think about what starting a business will give you as a person. Are you the sort of person that likes structure and you like a particular predictable, you know, income? Because that's, business is probably not right for you if that's the case. But if you're happy to sort of be more in the flow, you're happy to take times when, you know, things aren't going right, but you like the problem solving element, then just give it a go. It's okay to fail, because most really successful people in life have failed at some point. We just don't know about their failures. We only see their successes. And so whatever you do when you're starting a business, don't compare yourself to somebody who seems to be successful. Look at their whole story. Look at their whole journey, because there's going to be hundreds of failures along the way for them to be successful. I think, you know, I think it's James Dyson, for example, who invented the Dyson vacuum cleaner. He made hundreds of prototypes before he created the perfect one. And he became really successful because of the one we know about, but not because of the ones before that. But had he just given up at the first hurdle, he wouldn't have got anywhere. But I think you've got to be prepared to just go, okay, well, that didn't work, let's try this, you know, and always have that vision, always have that, you know, end goal. And also, there's one of my favorite quotes, and it's Henry Ford: if you believe you can, you're right, but if you believe you can't, you're also right. And yeah, I think that's so true. It's having that mindset that, you know, I can do this. You'll have naysayers, you'll have people, you know, those people whose advice we don't necessarily need, who tell you can't do it, but you need to brush yourself off and just keep going, because if you've got an idea, just go for it. What have you got to lose? You might be that successful business person. You just don't know. You might be.
And even with what you've just said about that, almost like that comparisonitis, as it were, it can be so easy to compare ourselves to people, can't it? We all you need to do is go on social media, and it's like the highlight reel of people's lives. They don't go on there and say, oh, today is a ultimately rubbish day. Some people now are, and I think that's great that, you know, they're reflecting kind of almost like both sides of life. But even within that, when you first get started, what tips would you give to someone who is maybe comparing themselves to someone who's maybe at a different part of their journey? What would you say about actually kind of almost like shifting past that and keeping going? Because I don't know about you, but if I don't feel like, you know, have a feeling at least once a week of I want to quit my business, right? I do not feel like my business is going well enough. Because, or even being a parent, right? At least on a weekly basis, I want to quit being a parent. And the thought goes in my head, oh my God, like, you know, so it's kind of just natural, isn't it? To actually have these moments when we go, oh my God, do I actually want to be doing this? So I suppose there's actually two questions there, isn't there? A little bit about how you get over comparison, but actually almost like that, how do you see the difference between almost like I'm having a bad day and I really don't want to be doing this, almost like what you were saying before, into actually getting that decision, I want to make a change. Does that make sense? I've asked a lot of questions all at once.
I think to answer the first one about comparison, it's again, it's what you're exposing yourself to. A lot of it is about your own beliefs. You know, if you've got an underlying belief that you're not good enough or you're not worthy, then you're going to see more things that will make you feel inadequate. So you've got to start with yourself first. You've got to start with that, you know, I'm good enough, I'm enough, I deserve to have this. But stay in your lane. It's a bit like, you know, going swimming, and I get really competitive. I'm naturally competitive. If I go swimming and there's a bloke, you know, he's behind me like, he's not coming past. I'm going to swim harder and harder so he can't get past me. And it's not even a lane swim. It's just in a normal pool, you know. It's but yeah, it's, and then I just think, what am I doing? Why am I putting all this effort into trying to prove myself when actually this poor guy is just going for a swim. He doesn't even probably know I'm there. He can just go past me and it's fine. And it just doesn't make me a worse swimmer than him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so stay in your lane is a really good way of thinking about it. And don't compare. If you're going to look at things on social media, again, use the same things I talked about with advice. Look for people who inspire you, who are going to lift you up, not make you feel inadequate. And if it makes you feel inadequate and it gives you that icky feeling to think, well, stop following them, simple as that, because that's not going to serve you. It's just going to make you feel worse and less motivated. Actually, now you have to remind me what the other question was. Now I forgot what it was. Now
that's a great question, because I'm not sure I remember actually what the I do remember what the other question was. It was about actually that, you know, we were talking about a little bit about the whole, you know, almost like, oh damn, oh, I'm having a bad week, and you know, we're like, oh, today's not going very well. What's the difference between, you know, that and actually, no, you know what, I want to do something completely different with my life, like you did when you were coming to the kind of the end of your career in the military?
I think you've got to look at your life as a whole. So when things are not working out as they should be, I think there are lots of signs that come up. And for me, and I can only use my, so again, don't compare yourself to me, but I was finding that I was really tired all the time. So I was feeling the physical effects of not being aligned with my career anymore. I was having more conflict at work. I was just, you know, people were just rubbing me up the wrong way. And I know that happens. But it just seemed to be more and more, I seemed to be more aware of it. And then I got more sick as well. I mean, I had mental health issues. I'm not going to, you know, shy away from the fact that I've had depression in my life. And it's funny because I spent 3 years taking a career break. My husband was, he was RAF. He's now ex-RAF. But we went to Canada and we lived in Canada for 3 years. And I took a career break. And I had the best time because I had very small kids, so that was hard work, and it was really cold, but it was just really different, and and it was just an amazing country to live in. But it really changed the way I looked at my life. I did a bit of a network marketing business there, so I had a bit of a taste of, you know, working for myself. So I thought, this is great. But I knew at the end of that I was going to come back to work. So I had to come back and finish off my commission, so I was eligible for my pension. So I came back in August, September 2019. And then by Christmas, I was signed off with depression. I haven't been back at work for 3 months. I came back feeling like, yes, I've got this. And I just thought, you know what? This is not serving me anymore. This is not good for me. I'd hit rock bottom again. I was really struggling with the hours and struggling with being a parent and working full time. And then the risk of being posted, which is fine if you're single, but being posted overseas or deployed again, that was too much. It was the stress. It was too much for me. And I just thought, you know what? I think it's time to move on. So to answer your question in a nutshell, I think you've got to look at what else is happening in your life. You know, are you happy sometimes? Is it just occasionally you're feeling a bit like you don't like your job anymore and you're feeling a bit, oof, it's a bit rubbish and having the odd bad day? But if it's consistent and then it's affecting your mental health, then I think that's when you've got to really start looking at, you know, what's important, because there's no point in making yourself worse and worse by just doing a job and earning money for it. Just, there's no point. Life's too short. You might as well go out and enjoy it. And do you know what? I haven't looked back since that happened to me. That was another reminder for me that I need to go and do something different. So it was a kind of string of things that happened. And I'd made the decision quite soon after that. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave the Air Force. I'm going to start my own business. And like I say, I've never been happier, and it's so true. People say that once you've got depression, that you're always likely to more prone to it. You become more aware of your mental health, but I've never felt like that again since. I've just been really feel. And one of my clients explained it recently. She felt more buoyant or happy. I feel more buoyant in life. I love that phrase. It's good, isn't it? I'm claiming that one now because she said that recently. It's more than just having a rubbish day. I think if it's a chronic problem, it becomes physical. It becomes a physical problem, and it becomes a mental health problem as well. And that's when you've got to really start paying attention, and you've got to do something about it, because there's all the signs that the universe is putting in front of you. You need to do something about your life.
I love that. And just finishing up now on that point, and especially as you're a nurse, right? I love the fact that you've got that background, but someone who is, you know, maybe in that position, and thinking, you know what, I'm feeling like that. But I think there is, especially in the UK, this whole kind of like, and it is maybe past stigma. And I know you were talking earlier about our generation, and I hope you don't mind me saying, but in our 40s, so just to give context of that our generation kind of situation.
I love the fact you're maybe 10 years younger as well. Thank you.
There we go. It's fine, right? But even kind of like there is that almost like, you know, stiff upper lip, keep calm and carry on, push through all of that. When is the time? And I do believe, right, sometimes you do need to do that, right? You do just need to, when your brain is telling me, oh, go to sleep, you almost need to do the opposite of your brain, right? When your brain's saying, keep going, you need to stop. And when your brain's saying, oh, do nothing, you almost like need to do the opposite. But yeah, when is the point to go, you know what, enough is enough? What would you say to someone in that situation?
Sadly, it's probably when you've got to rock bottom, but you can pick it up. If you're intuitive and you listen to your intuition, and that's something I've learned to do in the last few years, and start asking yourself, you know, is this right for me? Almost set an intention. This is something I teach my clients all the time. And when they realise how to do it, it's game changer. You know, if you're on the fence and you think, what should I do? Just write it in a journal, maybe meditate on it and ask yourself, is what I'm doing right for me right now? And then just be open to signs either way, because there will be signs and you need to listen out for them and watch out for them. But it's hard. It's hard because you will often have, you know, ties with, you know, if you've got a mortgage to pay, you've got the finances and things like that. But I think ultimately you've got to think, is my health my stress levels, my mental health, is it worth this? Is it worth carrying on with this right now? Because if it's not, then that's the time to do something else.
And I know that generally people will always find a way, right? I ask people, you know, when was the last time you didn't pay your mortgage? And they're like, well, I've never not paid my mortgage. And I'm like, well, why would you start now? So we will always find a way. Well, thank you, thank you. Are there any final thoughts you would like to impart before we go today?
I think the only thing that I would like to say, which I've kind of hinted at, is that coming from a very process background, very logical background, you know, the science element of being a nurse, the process and the logic behind the military, is that I think, and I might be, this might be true of everybody, but we're very much focused on facts and evidence, and we tend to push away our gut feelings. You get a sixth sense about a certain situation, we push that down because it's not proven. If you get a feeling about something, listen to it. We've got this amazing ability to tap into intuition, and I use it with my clients when I get to the point where I'm mid-coaching and I'm trying to think, like, what's the logical thing to do next? And I'm like, I can't think of anything. If I just take a breath and just go, just let it flow, and then the questions just come up. And we haven't tapped into that enough, I think, as humans. We've pushed that away. And I think it's a beautiful part of being a human, being that sort of imperfect person, in that we don't know the answers to everything. We can just let those thoughts, let that intuition flow, and, you know, use it because it's there for a reason and it's there to guide us. And this is so different from the person I was 3 years ago. And I can't believe I'm even saying this today.
I love that.
But don't be scared of it. Don't be scared of it, because I think people try and, you know, not to talk about it because it's a bit woo-woo. You know what I mean? So that would be my parting thought, really, is that don't be scared of your intuition.
I say all the time, you know, everything is perfect in the moment, literally. Even if it feels a bit shitty, it's perfect in the moment. And I think that kind of, you know, just really sums it up, doesn't it? Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with me today, Anne. I hope you have an amazing day, and we'll catch you all soon. See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to be the first to know about new episodes. And in the meantime, check out our community at beingimperfectlyperfect.co.uk. We'll see you next time.